In this episode of COL Drag Race Tea Time, Demon and Gary are joined by Mr. Glitter Bear James. The guys get social while the queens make over some kings of the interwebs. Who gets all the likes, tweets, and followers, and who falls into a media blackout? Click at the linky to find out as COL Drag Race Tea Time Season 10, Episode 10 starts now.
Tens across the board.
RuPaul Drag Race.
Hey, kitty girls, it's May 28, 2018. Welcome to Cubs Out Loud Drag Race Tea Time, Season 10, Episode number 10. We're doing it again because, you know, they keep putting out this fucking show every week. And some of us are just addicted to fucking drag. But
of course,
before we get into that, for those of you that don't know, my name's Gary. With me is one of my ever fabulous co-hosts.
Hey, everyone. It's Damon. Hi.
And this week we are joined by extra special guest host.
Hi, it's me. I'm James. Hey. Welcome.
Hi.
Hello.
For those of you that don't know, James has actually been on Cubs Out Loud before. He is also known by a title. Actually,
a title or two,
you know, just a little thing I picked up along the way.
Yes.
So we're happy to have Glitter Bear here representing. And you just actually got back from Chicago. One of the cities.
Yes.
Bitch, he's from Chicago.
Yes. Jamesy was in C-Town for IML. While it's a leather-based event, I got this question. Was there any drag to be seen? And I don't mean leather drag.
No, I didn't see any.
Okay.
So I do know there was some.
Oh, okay.
Like the spit shine party for Boot Blacks. Lovely Karen Four Cox and I believe Monica Moray were the hosts of that. And the only reason I know it is because someone live streamed the questions.
Yes.
I saw that they were them because they had some issues with some microphone and it would, so anyway.
Yeah. I heard all about that. But I didn't get to go to that party, so I didn't see them. So I didn't see the drag.
There you go.
That's okay.
But I missed it. I saw lots of other things though.
The drag. I was gonna say, I'm sure you had a very busy and eventful weekend.
Lots of very nice times, yes.
So that said, since you were in Chicago, as were a great number of people, did you get to see Drag Race while you were in Chicago? Or did you have to postpone until the festivities were over?
I actually did not leave for Chicago until Friday, so I got to watch it before I left.
Oh. Look at you and your priorities.
Yes.
You're like Men in Leather in C-Town or Drag Race.
Drag Race.
It's okay.
Drag Race.
I know we have some people who are part of the entourage for Drag Race for Comes Out Loud and other guests who went to IML and they were trying to live stream it. Q, God bless him. He tried to get into Roscoe's to see the show with Monet there. And there was a line outside the building. His Uber took like 3 fucking hours or some shit to get through Chicago traffic. He was having all these issues.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but he got it done. Yeah.
It was all right.
Yeah. It was fun. But that being said, let's talk about episode 10. Get right into it, all right?
Yes.
Cover girl, put the bass in your walk.
Okay, so it is season 10, episode 10. So that's like, what, 10 squared, something of that sort? Not that good at math. This particular episode had 2 out of the 3 pieces, or you could say it had the mini, the maxi, and the runway. I mean, it kind of depends on how you want to work it. So in the mini challenge, the queens have to do a campaign ad photographic, like a photo shoot for something called
Trade.
So RuPaul comes in and this very colorful, Klein Epstein Barker, very expensive jacket. Is typical RuPaul, and then does one of the most shocking physical comedy moments I think in RuPaul history, and grabs her junk and hikes it towards the sky. And I know those queens were like, okay, that's unexpected.
That's a choice.
It was a choice.
Choices. And
goes on to explain that they're going to do this little photo shoot deal. So they do that part. And then we move on to finding out that it's makeover week. And everybody's very excited about that. And so the episode is called Social Media Kings into Queens, because the six contestants are matched up with a male who happens to be big in social media. Or so I'm told. I say it that way because this is a throwing shade at the producers of WoW Presents. But I was like, what the fuck? I only know of one of the six. And then the other one, I happened to go, oh, okay, you be related to someone who's famous. Therefore, I guess that kind of puts you worthy of being on the show ish. So, So they have to, the queens get paired up, and then they have to make them into their drag daughters. So they're supposed to be a family resemblance. Then they do the runway. Oh, wait, that's right. Record scratch. One more thing Ru almost forgot. And you knew this was coming because we're at that stage of the competition now where Ru gets forgetful. And there's always just one more thing. So it's kind of like she's channeling Steve Jobs ish. And she says, you need to make a music video for charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent once they're all done up.
Yeah.
So we'll get to that in a little bit. But those are the three-ish, four, whatever, however many pieces it took to make up this particular episode. That being said, out of that plethora of content, James, what stood out to you in particular from this show?
Okay, well, from the show overall, I would say the thing that stood out with me is you actually had one up on me because I knew none of these social media people. None at all.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm like, okay, there are people that are apparently popular. So, okay, let's make them over. One thing that really stood out to me was in the mini challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Cameron Michaels is packing heat.
All right.
Did you see that?
Let's talk about this. Everyone's having a shit fit about the fact that apparently Cameron Michaels hung or very girthy, thick, maybe popped a blue pill that day. I'm not sure. And then I'm like, but wait, they knew what this mini challenge was going into it. I mean, Ru explained, you're supposed to take on this hyper-masculine kind of representation and dress up and stuff. So I am not trying to throw shade at Cameron Michaels or anybody else, but I'm like, does anybody want to recognize the fact that that could be a sock? That it could be just, a chicken cutlet, kind of put in a tube sock? I don't know.
Please just don't ruin the fantasy. let's leave it alone.
So I have to go back to the first episode to kind of compare. Because, we saw her, take off her pants. Morgan, Mayhem and Eureka are all about that, D. in the first episode. They're like, who? And they even remember they said, who let the trade in? Remember?
Yes.
I do, but I thought that was mostly because Cameron is covered in tats. Not 100%, not no. Sleeves.
Honey,
but,
honey. It was the D. It was all about the D. Down.
Yeah.
I mean, and don't get me wrong. I'm pretty sure maybe the two are similar in size, but I do feel maybe just for the sake of the challenge, the mini challenge, there may have been some fluffing or some embellishment. Yeah, I'm not gonna
a little artistic.
I won't try to ruin the. Yeah, I'm not going to ruin the fantasy. I'm just going to say maybe there was time. I do think Cameron is decently sized. Blessed.
I'm not right. I think that she is a blessed Tennessee man. I am not going to take that away from her. She may very well have thought ahead and taken a little bit of a dark charcoal kind of blush or something and put a little shadow on that part of the teeth. I'm just saying they are illusionists. So
that's true.
I'm not taking this away. I'm just trying to give Cameron an out in case people decide to try to hook up and, you know, whether it be other queens who want to kai-kai or if it's, you know, actual pick up some trade D while you're doing the world tour. Girl, I just don't want you to be in trouble with it. Be like, can you believe? So, like,
yeah. And what I will say is I knew of three of the six. So I guess that's half.
Ooh, Damon wins the round.
You're the winner.
So I knew who Tyler Oakley was. I knew who Kingsley was only because I've seen him on other people that I follow or subscribe to on YouTube. So I kind of had him more in the realm. And I also knew who Frankie Grande was only because I watched the season of Big Brother that he was on. So I got to see all of that.
all of that.
Yeah. Because it is true. Frankie has a very loud personality, and it showed very much in this episode.
Yes.
I'm surprised there's not some like whole bunch of stuff on the editing floor of just him just being that.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure there is.
Well, and that's the thing. So, like, I knew who Tyler Oakley was because I watched Hannah Hart and Mamie Hart and Grace Helbig and, like, these other YouTube celebrities, quote unquote, that are based all out in California. Tyler lives out there. Now, I'm going to say this because I don't know how true this is or not. I thought for years when I heard Tyler Oakley's name that he was part of the Oakley eyeglass, like, empire. Like, that was his namesake. Like, he was a Rockefeller or some shit. He was just a spoiled, bratty, like, kid who happened to be very popular online. And I've, like, watched some of his shows and stuff. And actually, he seems like a lot of fun, a good personality. He has body insecurities, which gets talked about a little bit in this episode. So I was like, oh, okay. Like, you know, he seems actually very down to earth. Like, and he naturally laughs, like, for humor. But I also caught that he kind of laughs when he's uncomfortable. That's kind of his behavioral thing, but he has such a really good laugh. Like, that's part of the reason why I noticed that. So that would, Tyler was the only one that I knew, and the rest of them, I was like, Kingsley, the more I watched it looked, I was like, yeah, you kind of look familiar, but I don't know why.
I've probably seen him on, I think he's been on like TV or something in some kind of show, some kind of way.
And then we find out that Frankie Grande is Ariana Grande's older brother. And I was like, oh, okay. And I'm thinking, well, yeah, like lots of people have siblings. So what? But
sister.
So here's what I want to say about that part, though. So last week, not this episode 10, but episode 9, Christy and I are, you know, live chatting because that's what we do when we're watching it. And lo and behold, they show at the end of episode 9, the preview for episode 10, and they say social media, you know, kings into queens, and then they show Frankie Grande. Chris lost his mind, and he was like, no, like he completely freaked out. He was like, I can't stand Frankie. He's like, and then he's like, oh no, Eureka is doomed. Like, I mean, it was so funny because he was like, he's loud, he never shuts up, you can't get a word in, like, I hated him on Big Brother. I mean, just went on and on and on, and I was like, oh dear, like this could be quite the shit show of an episode.
And that's then, the one that worked.
Well, and right, so classic, you know, mislead yet again, the way they edit and produce the show, you're thinking one thing, and then of all the twosomes, all the duos, that one's actually the one that kind of worked the best or the most in a way.
Yeah.
So
I think the reason that worked is, believe it or not, I feel that Eureka, while she can be loud and you know, take charge and, you know, want to be the center of attention, and Frankie's kind of the same, when you put those two personalities together, one is going to somehow circle the other. Like, it's like two planets that, like, suddenly find a, like, bond. And that's what I feel like what happened with them, as opposed to everyone else thinking they're just going to butt heads the whole time. No, Frankie wanted to be on the show. Like he mentioned in Untucked and everything else, like he wanted to be on the show and he was really, you know, wanting to be there. So I think he knew in order to succeed, he had to kind of take the back seat.
Well, I also think Eureka knew that.
Yeah.
I think Eureka knows she's made it 9 episodes. She almost went home. So she's been eating very slowly, bite by bite, over the past week, some humble pie.
Uh-huh.
You know, she did a lip sync for her life. She got the double save spot. So she, you know, basically had heart palpitations and nearly died on stage. So I think she had a very high, and then she was like, okay, girl, calm down. And while she's Eureka, you know, she's not going to just mute herself. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I think they did find that symbiosis, like they kind of balanced each other and worked it out. And I think she let Frankie be Frankie, and she pulled back a little bit. And that also really came into play when they did their runway mm-hmm. piece and their personalities, which I thought was fun. So speaking of which, Cameron Michaels is packing from the mini challenge for trade. BJ, aka Eureka, wins, which I thought everyone probably felt it. Cameron had it in the bag. Like Cameron was just expected to win because Cameron is the most trade looking of them all as men.
But
while I didn't necessarily care for the actual ad for BJ, I have to say that Eureka was really funny. And that is one of the keys to getting Rue's heart, is to make her laugh and be stupid. Yeah. And Eureka with hair and chest hair in like a mechanics jumpsuit. I was like, all right, I'll give it to you. Like if that was all real, you might catch my eye someplace. Like, you know, you're kind of delivering that, you know, porn trope of, you know, Bubba mechanic, you know, in the midst of the hills or whatever, you know, is going to let you find an alternative method to pay or something. I don't know.
Looks like you broke the struts and your whatevers and have nots. We're out here in the middle of nowhere. I guess we're going to have to find some way for you to pay that bill down.
Yeah.
Unzip, porn music starts.
Exactly. Which, of course, at some point, inappropriately, the line will come into the porn. Boy, you got a pretty mouth. So Eureka wins. Eureka's winning gives her the opportunity to assign the pairings. And she chooses Frankie, which everyone's like, mayday, mayday, girl, you in trouble. Like, why would you choose Frankie? But she assigns everybody else. And she is boldly open through the whole episode that she is out to sabotage the other girls. Like, she is intentionally trying to fuck with the other contestants to challenge them. What I find interesting is that in the edit, like going to commercial, they make it look like Rue doesn't like this idea from Eureka. Yet when you actually watch that moment in the workroom, Rue like commends her and comments like, yes, that's what you should be doing, which I find interesting. And I'm like, well, that's a little fuel fire stoking, you know,
you should take every opportunity to as an advantage. And this is one of those times. And especially since we're so close and she was so far, you know, last episode to, you know, so close to leaving. So by all means, like, there you go.
Oh yeah. Even Aquaria came back and said it in her confessional and said, you know, well, Rue called me out for not being strategic. So I don't blame her at all for doing that.
Yep.
Even Aquaria, the one that was sabotaged, admits it's a good idea.
And Aquaria even said, I'm not worried about it. Like I do great face, and I've done great face on other people. So bring it on. Like, and that was the part I think that diffused this whole issue, this like, you know, bitchiness about Eureka gamesmanship. I think everyone just kind of shut up about it. Like, because Aquaria said to Cameron, she's like, I don't like, you know, I'm fine with it, whatever. And it ain't a big deal. And when it is kind of a big deal, which we'll get to later, maybe is in Untucked, because she's not present when Eureka talks about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought that was very interesting. So, So Eureka wins. She matches everybody up. Then everyone's got to have a little kiki, get to know their partner. Asia and her partner really hit it off. I found this part of it quite hysterical because Eureka's social media king wants her jacket. And
right.
I was like, I'm sure Asia is like, yeah, let me just whip up another one like in the next 3 hours.
Yeah.
Which she did make another jacket. And I have to say, as a facsimile, for a quick turnaround, I thought it was done well. But
yes,
that was my first thought. Was he was living for that jacket. And I was like, oh, Asia girl, you in trouble. Like, yes. You've got a little diva on your hands.
Because no offense, you can't really match that with like a gown. You can't like go, no. I'm going to wear this jacket. I'm going to wear a full length. No, you can't. No, there's not really much you can do without making another jacket. So,
well, or like, because it's only a jacket, you'd have to make a bottom half look the same as the other top. You know what I mean? Like, you'd have to make them look like strategic opposite bookends or something. And I think they went a good way. So yeah, we have makeovers and then they have to do the music video. James, was there anything in particular that stood out to you, like, about the makeovers and the music video?
let's see. What stood out? Nothing stood out from the music video. I just thought it was kind of like, eh. From the makeovers, Crackers, man, Miss Cookie was just phenomenal. I took my notes on my show, and I've written stunning. I was like, fantastic. Just, I came up with a million words to describe Cookie's look, and just, I am still bowled over by what she was able to do.
I will say that Ms. Cracker's transformation of her social media king into Ms. Cookie was, to use Eric's word, was about something else, flabbergasting.
Yeah.
Like, yes. I was like, oh, I wonder how this is going, because she gets so excited and she's like, I forgot that I was like that. That my drag is on the line and that I'm competing. And so she's like blowing on like the eyelash, trying to get the eyelash glue to dry before she sticks it on Cookie's face. Like, and then they do the reveal, which I'm wondering how many times they shot that. Like, because it has been said a couple of times over the years that sometimes they ask them to repeat things. It has been documented, quote unquote, or said online several times that the most infamous Sharon Needles Fifi O'Hara fight was actually manufactured. It wasn't even real to begin with.
Really?
Oh yeah. There's been a lot of stuff that's been talked about how like sometimes there's just stuff done for the cameras as opposed to really, really, really something.
Well, so, it's reality TV. So there you go.
True.
Right. So we do the 180 reveal, which I found very interesting. Because a part of me is like, the reaction seems so natural. I would find it hard to believe that Cookie didn't know what Cookie looked like till, you know,
Ms.
Right.
Cookie turned around. And then I was like, even I was like, damn.
Wow.
Yeah. The makeup, the look was astounding from A to Z. Like, it was just so like, and not only that, there was a almost instant sort of change in the mannerisms and behavior and mentality.
Almost.
Cookie went like full on like I could see her doing shows. Like I'm like she was like, oh, and then when they did they were doing the runway and all, like she had fun. And I think that's the heart of this challenge that I love so much sometimes, is that it's a matter of having the queen become so like, or having the transformation become so amazingly different that it makes you know, we have Spearmint from last season, you know, it's those things that just make you like, wow, flabbergasted, and you're just like, okay, well, go ahead and do you.
Well, and like, so Ginger Tea Time said in the live chat just now, I did think that Cracker looked like Gollum from Lord of the Rings when she revealed Cookie to Cookie. Because Cracker wasn't done up yet. Like, she was a little done up. Like, she had her base face on, but she wasn't completely transformed. So I will say that, yes, Cookie actually looked better than Cracker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she did.
It's a little embarrassing, I think.
There was something, though, something Miss Cracker had said, though, really stuck with me. Because I just thought it was awkward and funny when they were getting to know each other. And he talks about, oh, yeah, my ex-girlfriend liked to watch the show. And, oh, you're a heterosexual? like straight was just too much. You had to get all those syllables in there. And like really, girl, really?
Well, I think Cracker is a well-educated white woman. Jewish white woman at that. So I think she can't help herself. I think it's natural at all of us to speak the way we speak based on our education, our upbringing, you know, all of that kind of stuff. So it didn't surprise me that she did that because it was such the zing. It was the perfect delivery of, you know, well, you're in a safe space. Like we accept you here. I mean, yes. You know, just basically dishing back things that have been said to gay people in that moment. Yeah, I thought it was great. There and also, like Philip says in the live chat, and he was so into being Cookie when the drag was done. Yeah. Oh. So of all the people that get redone, like I think Cookie and Shortchange were the most enthusiastic, like about the fun of dressing up. I think Frankie was trying really hard to deliver like a characterization. Yeah. So it felt more like he was acting as Eufrika as opposed to just having fun. And that's not really meant to be shady. It was just, I want to make a clarification. Like I'm not disregarding what Frankie Grande did, but yeah. I was like, and yeah, who knew that Miss Cookie was going to be so quippy on the runway for critiques.
Right.
Like that's what helped sell that, I think, a little bit. And that's where I thought it was good that later Cracker was like, I think you are the first makeover drag queen in history to have actually won the challenge. As in, I didn't win the challenge, girl. You won the challenge. Like,
and probably she did a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm looking at some of the pictures and I'm just like, this is very just amazing. I'm loving like what they did to her, what he did, you know,
right.
Because it just all works so well.
Well, and one of my favorite parts is so they end up, spoiler alert, so Ms. Cracker wins and Ms. Cookie wins. So Ms. Cracker gets $2,000 gift card from a latex company. And Ms. Cookie gets a $2,000 gift card from, you know, Epstein Parker for, you know, the suit deal. And then Rue puts in this lovely dig and says, but you two could get in touch with each other if you want to trade. And I thought Ms. Cracker will take either. She will take the $2,000 in latex, even though that's not quite what she's known for. Or she will take like the $2,000 gift card to get a custom made suit or suits. Like,
right,
doesn't matter. Either way, it's
Miss Cookie looked real interesting, and she was real interested in that trade. You got that look on his face, like, really?
Yeah. God bless it if we have another. If Miss Cookie starts throwing up on like,
she will.
She's on the Drag Race tour.
You never know. Cookie might make an appearance at the finale.
Oh, that would be awesome.
If Cracker makes it to top four, they might do the same thing that they did with Peppermint last year in the makeover, you know, might appear on stage. We'll see.
I'd be okay with that.
But I want to go back real quick to something that you said, James, about the music video. So it's very dun-dun-dun that Drew says, and she delivered it great. She was like, she's like, you know, and I'll talk to you later. I almost forgot. Like she did such a great natural. Oh, yeah. And one more thing, it says about the music video. And I'm like, I'm watching the show. I'm like, oh fuck. Like music videos are not easy or fun to produce. Then we get to watch it. And I went, okay, that was lame. Like,
yes.
I was like, I don't understand. Like, all they got to do was stand in front of a camera and lip sync and kind of be silly and dance around. Like, I get that it's a homemade music video, girl, but like, no drag queen really makes those music videos that way anymore. Like, the bar has been raised and now everybody has to have a fucking production. So,
yeah, it was a choice. I'm just going to have to go back to that.
Choices.
To wrap up on Miss Cookie, Drew said in the live chat, we'll see Miss Cookie on, say, season 12.
There we go.
Oh, Ginger has a point. She says, I also love the fact that there weren't any like super booger looks.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, like all true. The queens did kind of look. There wasn't anyone that was like, ooh, like they got their makeup done like in 2 seconds. Like,
yeah.
There was no one that everyone kind of had everyone, the queens and their daughters or sisters or whatever they're going with, all kind of looked well made up. So either the queens have learned from previous challenges and learned how to be really quick, or B, the production decided to give them a little bit more time than they usually do just for the sake of, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So we'll see. All right.
Damon or James, anything else about the makeovers that you wanted to comment on before we move on?
Oh, what did I have? I have lots of things. I really did like Eureka and Eufrika. I thought they had a really good, if we're going for that family drag resemblance, I thought, you know, they and Cookie and Cracker just had it. I disagreed with the judges when they talked about from Asia and Monet. And so Monet didn't have any resemblance at all. And Asia, they said, oh, and it's all there. And I thought, I am completely opposite on that. I didn't see resemblance at all with Asia and America. But then I looked at Monet and Shortchange and I thought, well, I can see it. I can totally see this.
Yeah.
So I kind of disagree with Michelle Visage at all. Yeah.
What was it? I liked, what's the word I'm looking for? I appreciated their judges' critiques in a sense that they kind of gave them a little something to think about. But the only thing that Monet and Shortchange kind of had that lacked was this. There were some different color choices that could have been made that would have made things a little bit more like balanced as like we're sisters. And I feel like maybe that was the difference. But Asia and America were kind of I wasn't expecting Asia to win. Like when I saw them together, while I liked their look and I liked the way they did everything, I could tell almost immediately that one of the jackets was like of lesser quality. Like here is the like Rodeo Drive version, and here is the like online wish like bought like jacket version of it, you know. Okay, maybe it's not that far, but you know what I mean. Like there was a clear difference. Yeah. And I think I would have liked just some similarities in some of the ways that they looked. The group pairing I had the most problem with was actually Aquaria and whatever she named Kingsley, Capricorna,
Capricorn,
Capricorn, whatever.
Right, which made like no sense because Aquaria gets her name because she's an Aquarius, and so he's a Capricorn, and somehow that turns into Capricorn, and I'm like, girl, that's a mouthful. It's not a pretty
I would have rather they just said Capricia. If they just kept it Capricia, I would have been, okay, I get it. Not really, but I get it. You know.
But anyway, I have to agree with you, David. That pairing was by far the worst on the runway. I am in the camp of a lot of people who so far online have said Aquaria should have been in the bottom two. There is no reason that she shouldn't have been in the bottom two. I don't think the makeup was done that well, and the outfits were bad.
Yep.
Yes. Totally agree.
It was Queen of Hearts and the janitor.
I didn't even get Queen of Hearts. Like I was like, girl, you're reaching. Like you're reaching real hard.
Like, I get the red and I get the, and I got it. And some of it, like makeup wise, yes, they looked good. Don't get me wrong. But that was about where the good of the challenge kind of went. Like I thought the hair was too big. I thought the outfit was, the two outfits just did not work. It worked well for Aquaria. I liked the big like volume of the red, whatever she was wearing.
Yeah.
But it didn't pair with what you put on the other girl. And you guys unfortunately didn't do a whole lot of time on like walking and posing and any of that shit that kind of comes important when you're running or walking a runway. You know, first thought. Because it just like it looked like it of the queen of the social kings that were transformed. It she was the one to me that looked like the most uncomfortable. Right. And I get and
yeah
during the you know walkthrough with Rue, he mentioned that he was scared of looking awkward and he was scared, you know, mm-hmm. unsure about that stuff. And I was like, so that's where Aquaria needed to go, okay, well, let's work on some stuff and get some stuff together to make sure that you don't, you kill it when you get on, down there. Cause that's what's going to sell it. That always is what's going to sell it is if you have that confidence behind whatever you do. And even if you falter, you're still, there's still a bit of like confidence to back you up.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and that's like, so in the live chat, like Ginger Tea Time says, Kingsley looked super uncomfortable. I have to agree with that. I didn't get confidence coming out of that. Eric says, Kingsley's makeup was orange / yellow to me, and I couldn't see where they were getting that it was so great. I'm glad somebody else said it, because that was in my mind when I'm watching the episode live. I was like, oh, no, Coco, you can't come back. Like, we can't do this nacho cheese orange shit again. Like, no. Like that's we're done. That's in the past. Like, and I'm not saying that's how bad it was, but I was getting that essence. I was like, while Aquaria can do good face, I was like, I'm afraid like she fell victim to HD and that type of stage lighting. You know what I mean? Like, like the more you have practice with it, the better you can probably get at it is part of the issue. But I also felt very much like Aquaria looked not that great. And then Capricia Korn looked like best friend like, got done up in drags for Halloween, kind of like, it is, you know, it is straight kind of like, it was so confusing to me. I was like, no, this is not good.
Yes.
I love how Drew says Aquaria got the wrong memo. It worked for the color coordination challenge, not the family resemblance challenge.
Ooh.
Yes.
I was like, yeah, that's kind of a thing. So in regards to Cameron and Anthony being mashed up together, I think that's who it was. Cameron's daughter, Kelly, was just way too manly.
Yeah.
Like the face was pretty good. The hair was okay. I don't have a problem with the judges critiquing Cameron about that it was too polar opposite. Like, how they were disco like queens, but they were more sisters than mother daughter. And obviously, Cameron's outfit looks better than Kelly's does because Cameron came with that outfit most likely. So she had to try to whip up something out of gold lame that kind of looked like what she had. And I just felt bad because Cameron's daughter was the more. Was the most masculine of the bunch, like kind of clotted on the hall, like on the runway that way. And then when you get to the back, like was not graceful. Like I was just like,
yeah.
Like, and that stuff kind of matters at the stage in the game because there's only six. So like if they had done this back when there were 12 queens, which would have been a super fucking long episode. like, you know, it would have blended into the crowd more if there was a bunch of bad ones, like that were not, you know, quite as feminine per se.
Yeah.
So, Ginger Tito, I keep getting the feeling that Aquaria was homeschooled, like she has no social skill. Yikes.
I believe that.
Well, there's that thing. So the makeovers were interesting. The only other thing I want to say is I am highly disappointed in Monet and Short when they did the reveal. Shortchange had a reveal. Monet had a tearaway tissue. I don't understand what that was about. It took me three times seeing it to understand. Oh, you tore away a piece across your décolletage, which is why it looked like a half a bandana hanky when you threw it to the side. and you got critiqued because it's not a tearaway. It's not a reveal. Oh, so now you show that you got titties. Like, what? That doesn't make any sense. And I thought about it, and I was like, what would have worked better is if, okay, so Tyler as Shortchange had the little skirt deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's actually a legitimate tearaway. Monet would have been better to also have a bottom half tearaway if she had made some fucking MC Hammer pants and wore them with the slits down the sides or something to the end of the runway. They go to the end of the T, and then when they come back to middle is when they do the reveal. Like, it's, that was the other weird thing about the timing piece. I was like, why did you do it in the first three steps? Like,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's already over with. And now there's no, there's nothing to be excited about.
Who knows how many times they did it now?
What's that?
Who knows how many times they did it now?
True. But if you're going for a reveal, I mean, you need to reveal something. Yeah.
It's not like what they did. Mimi, I'm first in the first episode of RuPaul's Drag Race season one, where she's like, here, we're kind of taking this off, and there's a dress.
Yeah, unfortunately, the bar keeps getting raised and, like, old tricks aren't tricks anymore. Like, yeah. They just kind of become standard. Like, that's the whole thing about this show. Like, any queen that goes to get on to, like, season 11 and season 12 and all the rest of it, for however long it goes, girl, not only do you have to know how to sew and sing and dance and lip sync, you better be able to shablam, you better be able to death drop, you better be able to splat that pussy on the runway, because that is the thing now. That is part of it. And if Shangela has taught us anything, apparently props and being stunt queen and like distracting with a visual is like the next thing that's also coming. And I'm like, I miss Latrice Royale standing in one place singing a song.
Hey,
just like, you know,
telling the fuck out of that song.
Yeah. God, so, that being said, are we ready to move on to talking about Untucked?
Sure.
Sure.
All right.
Girl, if you're not watching Untucked, you're only getting half the story.
All right. I disagree. I don't think we got half the story this week with Untucked.
Not much at all.
James, to start us off, what notes did you have from Untucked?
Sorry. A lot of things.
I'm laughing at Drew's comment about the, like, it's like, oops, my skirt fell. sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead, James.
It's
too much.
Well, I got something from the very first, like, very beginning of Untucked, and it was Aquaria saying, talking about how, well, I don't care if the judges didn't see it. I had a story to my outfit, and if they didn't see it, that's too bad. And it's been said before on the show, like, girl, if you got to tell us, if you have to explain it, it's not working. And I think those outfits did not work.
No lies detected. Like, that is my, like, that is the biggest thing that I've had this whole season, is when you have to tell a story.
Yeah.
You've now ruined whatever you're trying to pull off. Your look. Right. It's a look. I see it with my eyes. I have to know in that visual moment when I'm seeing what I'm seeing, what you're trying to pull off. And if I don't, then I don't. Simple as that.
Exactly true. Other things that one thing I did pull out of it is Monet kind of accepted leaving. She seemed to know, kind of had that feeling, I guess, that it might have been her time. And she kind of gave that feeling of, I'm at peace with it and I'm cool. But, you know, who could be?
So one of the things she had going for her, one of the things that she kept saying was that this was her third, if she goes into the bottom, it'll be her third time, and she doesn't feel like it'll be enough. Like, and that is pretty true. When it's the regular show, like, three times is usually kind of like the that's it, because it's really hard to save someone that many times. But not saying it hasn't happened, I don't know if it has. I'd have to go through my years and look for it. But I don't think it's happened where a queen has gone three times and still saved themselves, unless someone is quick on the trigger on that. But it is a resigning kind of feeling when you know that, you know, if you go to the bottom, that, you know, okay, I'm good. I think I've, you know, done my part. I've done what I need to do. And then I'm ready. Not saying she's ready to go. No one ever wants to go, but
yeah,
to kind of own and accept that possibility is quite humbling in a sense.
Yeah.
I think that also showed in the actual lip sync. So Cameron and Monet go head to head. And when I watched it again today, the thing I noticed was that Cameron seemed to be on point. Monet was lip syncing, but there was just, it just wasn't at the exact same level. I think if it had been like another 10% and not seeming like she was a little tired, mm-hmm. it would have been harder to pick someone. And I don't know if they would have done a double save again, but
yeah,
it was sort of not a surprise, like when yeah. Cameron ends up staying and Moni leaves. As the one meme says online, which kind of cracked me up, Monet broke a light bulb. Bruce said, you got to go and pay for that light bulb. Because for those that don't know, back when they had the roller skating runway,
Robbie Turner
yeah. jumped off the end, which, by the way, was planned and rehearsed. The edge of her roller skate caught and clipped a light bulb, and Robbie Turner made a joke, and so did Rue, about how she got to pay for the replacement. So now that's a thing. Like, anybody that breaks a light bulb on the runway's got to pay for it. so that kind of cracked me up. The moment it happened, I was like, oh, I think she broke a bulb. Like, she probably gonna go home. Like, and then she did. And I saw the meme. I was like, yeah, leave it to us. We're shooting assholes like that. So for Untucked, for me, there wasn't really anything that stood out except the weird thing that happened that wasn't explained, which is everybody kiki haha, like everybody's getting along, and Asia points out, she's like, thank God, six brand new people to talk to, like,
yeah.
like that's why everyone was so chatty in the workroom and so high energy and engaged, because they were like, you know, they weren't feeling the fatigue of this, you know, existence where it was only them to the very end kind of thing. Like, they got new people, they got new blood, they got new personalities. Maybe they liked what they saw. I don't know. Mm-hmm. So they got all excited about it. And so, like, you know, that's going on a little bit. And I'm talking to that. All of a sudden, the one producer guy comes in and he's like, all right, all the social media kings have to leave.
Yeah.
Okay. And then they leave. And they're gone for a while, and then they come back. But we don't know what happened when they left. Like, he made it seem like there was a purpose that they were right. doing. And I was like, okay, so we're going to get to see what they're doing. Nope. Never saw what they went to.
That was the other thing. I was like, what the fuck? What? Like, why? Okay. I mean, I know that they have to, like, eventually split, but, like, why send them off somewhere for whatever reason and then have them come back? And then, like if they had split off from the runway, like they left the runway and like, okay, we need the social media queens to go off and do this thing over here so you guys can blah, 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 blah. And then we brought them back, and then they stayed until the queens have to go back on stage. That would have made more sense for me. But this whole like leaving and coming back, no. Not featuring that, no.
My guess was they did a photo shoot. And I thought, well, that's the only explanation of why they'd have to leave or something like that.
Well, I think that may be true, James, that there was an actual reason that they left. We just don't know what it is, like that they actually did something off camera. But more importantly, I think they wanted to be able to get tape of the queens talking without their drag daughters there.
Yeah.
So.
Ginger, thank you, Ginger Teen Time. She's reminding me of someone. Nina Bonita Brown, I believe, had fallen into the bottom like three or four times before getting eliminated.
Mm-hmm. True.
I have to look that up now.
Eric says, and the couch got super silent. It was like the influencers left with everyone's voices.
True, true, true.
Drew says, I thought they were going to show us fielding questions about their experience. In other words, they were going to probably do confessionals to camera or as a group have a big discussion about what it's like to be first time up in drags. But yeah, that kind of didn't happen. So I didn't think there was any like big moment out of Untucked except for the, I call it manufactured drama of them asking about why Kingsley was put with Aquaria, and Aquaria thinks she's in the bottom and she's going to have to lip sync. So she's stretching. She has her iPod, you know, with the earbuds in. She's nowhere nearby. And Eureka's like, no, I'll own it. Like I, you know, purposefully set up to sabotage and stuff. Well, what cracked me up about this was like, you know, it's classic Eureka and her personality. And I'm not going to say anything. All right. I'm not going to say anything. I am going to say something. I'm just not going to talk a lot, like that whole thing. And then she does this thing. But when she reveals after the commercial break, she comes back that, yes, she actually set up Aquaria with Kingsley to be a sabotage. Frankie Grande's face is fucking hysterical because he's like, oh. Like, it was kind of like, oh. My drag mother's a bitch. Like, you know, it was really funny. I was like, even Frankie's kind of like, well, it was kind of an asshole move. Like, you know, I thought that was kind of comical. But that was really the only big thing. Like, there's a dramatic tension moment is that Aquaria is across the area. She can't hear shit about the conversation because she's busy stretching, thinking she's going home.
Okay.
So,
hey, I just kind of answered my question.
Okay.
Coco Montrese fell into the bottom three times before she was eliminated that fourth time. And then Darian Lake technically fell in the bottom two, three times, and then was eliminated in the finale, like the, you know, when they went to the final three. So, because remember that, if you remember that season, the top four did the video, but one of them wasn't going to be in the video because they got eliminated.
Right.
So I know those two. I'm still catching up a little.
Right. So it is not a guarantee that if you go into the bottom the third time, that is your when you go home. Correct. Statistically, the odds are not in your favor.
Yeah.
But you could possibly turn it out. Oh my God. Ginger Tea Time says, Kingsley needed to be with Asia. He needed a drag mother.
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought that was an interesting discussion and Untucked about how Kingsley thought, and they said, the three of them before like walking out of being assigned, Kingsley said he hoped that he was with a person of color as a drag mother, and that didn't happen. And I was like, interesting.
It's one of those things where he was hoping that there was a queen of color there.
Mm-hmm.
And that sounds kind of shady, it's not really, because no offense, like you don't know what makeup everyone has, and you probably want someone that has a somewhat similar skin tone to you, at least for foundations, because the foundation is what is you put all the makeup on. So if your foundation is shit, no offense, your everything else kind of doesn't look good.
Right.
Sorry, Jim just whispered Aja.
True.
Yeah. Well, and like Rue has said actually this season about how some of the girls, this was what for last week with the Silver Foxy look, how the girls bring stuff from their club performances and it doesn't translate well to the runway. I think that's true across the board. The outfit may not like translate well, the character, the makeup, like there's a lot of things that don't necessarily work well. And I think that was one of the things that Aja was highly criticized for, is that she was not ready for HD in your face camera work. And, you know, she really got put through the ringer about her face and her acne scarring, and she admitted after the fact that she, you know, made some coin, spent some coin, like, you know, had some stuff done and, you know, worked at being better about her makeup. And so, you know, she doesn't quite have, you know, the same face, so to speak, as she did in her season, which I thought was very interesting. But it is a point that, yeah, like you do one thing and you're not necessarily sure how it's going to translate. I think Aquaria borrowed makeup either from the show or from another queen. I doubt very highly she had that base and some of that of her own.
Yeah. Are, you know, like, again, like they probably have, obviously, because Anastasia gives like makeup every year, you know, so they probably have some kind of makeup somewhere. I doubt they're like telling the queens, like, we're putting you in, you're using your own makeup to do all these other girls. Like, no, I highly doubt that. So, but again, it's just one of those ones that it caught me by, like, I recognize that potential feeling because, you know, a queen of color is going to know how to do your face.
Right. And I think while Aquaria was very confident, I really wish we had seen whether or not Aquaria had the knowledge of doing makeup for, you know, giving face to a person of color, or if she actually went to some of the girls and asked them, like, what do you think I should use? Like, not tell me how to do the makeup, but, like, you know, what do you think is some good foundational stuff? And I immediately think of Asia, because she's kind of been the drag mother of the workroom and helping everybody else. True. She's the first one that I would expect, if Aquaria didn't ask, Asia would say, for Kingsley, I would consider, like, these three things. Keep that in mind. Or if you want to borrow something of mine, that's fine. But we miss all that, so we really don't know, other than the cute little, like, Aquaria running around like a flight attendant, apparently, with a fucking cart of whatever. And so I'm like, okay, like, we're imagining it's a magic genie, like, you know, cart, and it has just everything in it you're ever going to need. But we don't know for certain.
Who knows? Would you like some
coffee? Tea? Nice. Are we ready to move on to the next part?
Sure.
All right.
Ladies, this is your last chance to impress me and save yourself from elimination. Time has come. She lip sync for your life. Good luck. And don't fuck it up.
Snaps and eye rolls time. So, James, what do you have snaps for from this
episode? All right. My snaps have to go to Cameron's lip sync. I really thought, when he was announced that he was in danger of elimination, I thought Cameron is going to sink into that depressive state that he kind of fades into. Gets really down, and I just felt like Cameron was gonna just be resigned to going home and thought, well, this is it, it's my time to go. And I really didn't think it was gonna happen, and she hit that stage and she worked that lip sync, and I, watching it the first time, I sat astounded, just thought, oh my god, Cameron is saving herself, she's not going home, she's winning this lip sync. So that one, to me, that just stood out from the whole show. That was one of those moments of just, wow.
Nice.
Cameron is, like, not surprisingly, but is just one of the, I think, best lip syncers I've seen in a while on this show. And while I love Monet, I feel like, I think that, I agree with you, Gary, like what you said earlier, was that I think that Monet kind of wasn't all there. Like, this is her third time. Maybe she was tired. Who knows? Whatever. But it just, while I enjoyed the lip sync overall, I felt like Cameron just, like, knew what she was doing. I feel like she goes every week and practices these songs, or she knows them already, or she takes the time every night to go through every single fucking song that they've got on the little iPod, and she lip syncs them, and she thinks about them, and she goes through what she wants to do with them. And then when she, or if she ever falls into the bottom, she already knows what she's going to do. And that, I think, works in her favor, only because she never, whenever she commits to something, it shows. And her choices are there. Like, it's never just like fly by the seat of the pants kind of, you know, lip sync. It's very, very controlled and contained, but still stunning.
Well, and like some of the people are saying in the live chat, you know, like Cameron is a hell of a performer. Check out her Instagram and watch her show. She's just stellar. That's the thing I've heard, that online, like if you see anything of Cameron, like she really delivers. I was watching her in this lip sync. I agree with you, David. I think she prepares ahead of time. Like as soon as she knows what the song is, like she's listening and she's paying attention to the words. And then as Ginger Tea Time pointed out, hair flip, check my nails. Like that happened so many times in that song. It is impossible to not basically do what Cameron did. And yet Monet kind of didn't do that, which surprised me because there is something to say for rote drag. Like it could be boring if you just do the same damn thing 12,000 times in a number because that's what the words are. But at the same time, it shows that you know the song. And if you're crisp and clean in your execution, people can't clock you for being boring. So
it's almost choreographed as opposed to just like, oh, it's the words in the song. There's a, there's always a, you know, to me, there's a difference in that.
Right. David, did you have anything in particular you wanted to give snaps for as recognition?
Actually, this lip sync was pretty much it. Like for me, I'll give snaps to Eureka and Eureka's looks. Like while it's 90s, pageant, drag queen, whatever that they kept going on.
Oh my God, that drama. What the fuck ever.
I was kind of like it made, to me, they look the most like sisters or daughter, you know, mother-daughter kind of thing. And their story went really well. I liked that. I loved what they did and put on the runway because it all worked. And not only that, it the different, you know, the difference in size kind of really helped kind of build this whole thing. And they chose the from every choice that was made worked really well. And when they were getting like it was Cracker who was getting on about like, well, the bun is so big and her face looks so small. And I'm like going, I don't see what you're seeing. Maybe that's just me, but I saw the same look on two different sized people work well, given what they're, you know, challenged. You know,
I saw a little bit of what Cracker was critiquing, which is you have Eureka and then you've got like the mini me version of Eureka, and things just proportionally were not right on. And then in Untucked is when I could really see Frankie's face, and I was like, ooh, girl, that's really harsh. Like, granted, Eureka's face was harsh, but and Eureka was saying, like, you know, they're coming for me because of how this looks. And she's like, girl, this is exaggerated. This is like making fun of 90s pageant look, which I understand what Eureka is talking about, having seen some pageant queens during the 90s. Yes, it was big, it was bold, it was bodacious, it was not always great, like as choices, but it was kind of the trend that was happening at the time. So yeah, for me, I'm probably gonna have to give snaps to Cracker for pulling out the surprise of the season. Not only did she win the challenge, congratulations Cracker, you finally fucking won. Took you 10 episodes. But also, I understand where people were critiquing her for her floral wreath. Like, all I kept seeing online is people bitching about how it reminded them of her name just went out of my head. Violet Chachki's Hello Kitty thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know. But
it does.
It does a little bit. But I was like, I just think it was too much of her trying to go for the joke factor. So... She did good that she made Cookie look better than her. Like, that's what I think played to her favor. I think if they had swapped outfits and hair and all that, she probably would have got red for making Cookie look worse than her or something. That's just a gut feeling I have about what the judges would have said. So, but yeah, I don't know. James, eye rolls. Was there anything in particular that...
okay, so I'm going back to it. My eye rolls... with all the girls ripping on Eureka's outfits, even after she explains, this is 90s prom dress, pageant queen. It's meant to be campy. It's meant to be silly. And they continued to, but it's still, we don't wear that. We don't, I'm like, She's already explained this. She already told you why it's that way. Let it go. And they just kept on through all of Untucked. They kept on it.
Yep.
Just bugged me.
Yep. Over it. Done. Like, come on, yeah. Queens. Like, let's come up with something new. Like, again, here we are with... And while I could appreciate Eureka and the choice that she made and whatnot, I get it. You know, it was meant to be for the sake of the thing, and that's what they're going with, and yay, it worked. You know, to me, I felt it worked. But, like, I don't think they're necessarily coming for you because you're still a I think because you're a contender. Everyone... Yeah. At this point, at this stage as a contender, we're now at top five. So here we go. Like, the stakes are so much higher now that everything's going to get a very critical eye. Everything's going to get a very critical look at. And if this is all that they can knock you for, is like, oh, proportions weren't right. And this is like very old queen, like drag. I'm like, okay, well, yeah, well, I know. Like that was my big thing. Is like Eureka's like, I know that was what I was going for. And what else you got to say? Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Damon, did you have anything in particular? Is it eye roll that stood out?
Well, I hate to say my eye roll is for the whole like video curveball challenge thing that really wasn't there. Like I every season, every year they do something like this where it's like a meant to be a curveball and meant to be a thing that they can't really, you know, it's like, oh, well, I've got to do this on top of everything else. But it looked to me like it was almost an afterthought. Like, here we go. Cause like, if you look at the video, they're already all made up. It's their looks that they're doing on the runway. So they probably literally did it right before they took to the runway.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, there's nothing really urgent, quote unquote, about it. Like, the looks are already done. They already are made. The only change is like, now you probably have to get it done by 3 o'clock as opposed to 4 o'clock. You know what I mean? Like yeah. That to me was kind of like the thing that it just seemed kind of lame. Like, here you go.
The music video production seemed as much as an afterthought as Rue delivered it right before she went to walk out of the workroom. Oh, I almost forgot one more thing. Yeah, well, it looks like everybody kind of like forgot to put anything into it other than we're just going to put a shitty webcam like on a tripod in a corner of the tucked area or whatever that was actually. Mm-hmm. And they shot it, man. Actually, they shot some of it in the workroom. They shot some of it untucked. So I'm thinking they ran the whole thing at least twice.
Yeah.
With every pair. And then they just spliced it and cut it up to make it work somehow. But anyways, yeah, I really didn't have anything that was an eye roll. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah.
All right. Ready for last call?
Yes.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, start your engines and may the best woman win.
All right, so it's last call. Any final impressions, thoughts on the episode? James.
I thought it was pretty good. I enjoyed it. I liked the transformations of the social media influencers. I thought some of them were really good, like Eureka and Miss Cookie. Those were the standouts to me. I had a good time watching it.
Yeah. Yeah, I really appreciate it. One, the first thing I appreciated was the fact that they didn't choose just like gay social media guys or kings to do this thing. They chose some heterosexual men, and you know, one of those heterosexual men really did a great job. And no offense, I think probably make it really well in a drag queen. I am living for Miss Cookie. Like, that was something that she had all of that like energy there that I love about a drag queen, and that was perfect. Other than that, like, I think we should start strapping in for the finale. Like, this is it, folks. Like, we're now in that final kind of curve. So we've got five. We'll have the four more, and depending on what they decide to do, you know, it'll either be a three-way in the finale, or it'll be the four. So this is sort of if it's the four, then here we are. Like,
right. So yeah. let's talk about the the remaining episode, shall we? So for those of you that do not know, everybody gets a week off. This Thursday, there is no show. So instead of showing on May 31st, we get nothing. And then we resume airing on June 7th, 14th, 21st, 28th. The finale presumably is the 28th. The reunion, whatever you want to call it, is most likely the 21st. So that leaves us with the 7th and the 14th. So on the week of the 7th, in 2 weeks, we should go from five queens to four.
Mm-hmm.
Rumor has it online, they're going to probably repeat what they did last year with the format of the live lip syncs. So it'll be four queens to two queens to one queen. But that means we have this weird week in between. So my theory is the week of the 14th, we're probably going to get the... and I forget what the hell they called it last year, the repeat of the entire season, like in a 2-hour episode, where you might get a couple of extra things you never saw in the season, but basically they recap like all 11 previous episodes.
Mm.
So that would be the week of the 14th, and then the reunion would be the 21st, and then the show's on the 28th. Rumor has it, which I still haven't found any online, if you bought a ticket to LA DragCon, or La DragCon, as some of them like to make fun of it, you were supposed to get an email on Monday, the 21st of May, a week ago, telling you how you could get first dibs or have access to buy tickets to the finale airing, which I believe is supposed to be Saturday the 9th of June.
Hmm.
Which is very interesting because it's on a Saturday, not on a Sunday. It's not near DragCon. There's also a rumor, which I haven't found out for true as yet, that it's in New York, not LA.
Hmm.
So there's a lot of like question marks as to what the hell's going on with this finale thing. But it's typically 2 weeks from when they record it to when they like do the big finale in the theater and the multiple endings until we actually see online like the end for the edit cut. So I don't know quite what's going to happen. The fact that we have four actual episodes on the docket listed like in the TV guide type stuff, I'm like, like does it eliminating from five to four become a two-parter? Do we get that weird recap week? I don't know. Not so, but it makes sense to me if the show gets recorded on say the 9th or the 10th of June, as I'm looking at my calendar here. That makes sense because if the reunion airs on the 21st, the reunion is going to get shot when they get all the girls back together. And by then, the episode on the 7th most likely will go from 5 to 4. And if it's a final 4 in the finale, everyone will be on the same page. So all the girls that are in the show, all the contestants will know absolutely who the last 4 is. Then when they record the reunion with the finale, they can talk very openly about everything up to that point. You know what I mean? Like literally there's nothing to be like, there's no more tea to spill because they have been waiting since September, October of last year. Like since they filmed this to get to this point. So nothing's really happened. So that's, I don't know. It's all speculation on my end as to what the next step is, but
There is definitely supposedly going to be 4 episodes.
Drew, they'll bring Vixen back for a second chance just to stir up some drama. Ooh, girl.
No.
No. You're not.
Speaking of bringing people back, this isn't what's going to happen from my understanding, but I fully expect Miss Vanjie to make some type of a big splash in the finale.
Yeah,
there are two things I want to talk about in regards to this. So I want to talk about how Rue cracked up and broke down on the runway when she's introducing the guest judges. And then, you know, Michelle starts up and, you know, Rue tries very hard to try to walk backwards in those heels and that hair and that outfit doing Miss Vanjie. that really made me laugh. But I am going to say this, and I'm going to say it emphatically. And Chris, if you're listening or you end up seeing this episode or listening to it later, you will finally understand, because when that episode aired, I bitched to holy hell about that outfit that Rue was wearing. I said it was unforgivable, and I want that designer fired because they royally fucked something up, but this is what it is. So the top half and the bottom half are split. So there's a red side and there's a black side, right?
Right.
So the top bodice, you know, of the area, the chest and all that is split red, black, and the bottom is split that. But she's wearing a corset of some sort, some type of panel piece across her torso. It is red the whole way across. It does not match. Right. Straight through with black, or better yet, what should have been the designer purpose is to make the other half black on the red side. So yes, it actually would have been red, 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 like red diagonal, red, then the other diagonal red, and the same thing with the black. I thought it was the worst thing I'd ever seen. And I was like, who the fuck dressed her? Who allowed this to happen?
Who?
Right. This drama about how Matthew, you know, ended up getting mad and there was this backstage fight and a wig was thrown and that's why he left, and then Raven had to come in and Delta had to come in, and it was all the secrecy about the new makeup and hair girls and all this shit. And I'm like, we have moved beyond all of that, and it is very publicly well known that Delta Work and Raven are the two that are doing Rue now all the time. And I'm like, and yet some motherfucker let her walk out of that outfit.
Yeah.
No, unforgivable. I'm still mad about it, and I will be forever. Go back and look at the picture. It's like the dumbest thing ever. It should have been a non-matching color. It could have been all white for all I care, and I wouldn't have to bitch about it. But the fact that it matched the red and had no black in it, I was like, what's the matter with you people? What are you doing? Bad.
I agree. It was horrid. Just wrong.
Anyway. That's going to be my last call on this particular episode. I got that out of the system. Wrap up for closing. If you want to get in touch with us, if you want to tell me how wrong I am, not that I give a shit, you can reach out to us at our website, which is comesoutloud.com. You can send us an email at comesoutloud@gmail.com. You could leave us a voicemail message. We would love to listen to your sexy tones of your voice. You can call us at 361-COL-TALK. That's COL. It's just 265. And talk is 8255. So it's 361-265-8255. Social media outlets, kids. If you want to find us, you can go basically type it Comes Out Loud anywhere. That's Instagram, Facebook, Tumblr, Twitter, Google Plus, YouTube, the whole shebang. If you would like to join the chitty chat and hold your comments until one of us puts hashtag open season in there and then all hell breaks loose, you can join us on the Telegram platform. To do so, you can type in this URL into your browser. It's tinyurl.com/telegram. It's all lowercase. It's TELEGRAM hyphen, all caps, COLDR. That is a direct link. It'll get you in with us, and you'll be able to have a ton of information that comes around that goes on, as Drew says, the kitty chat. If you would like to support Cubs Out Loud overall, you can go to our merch store, go to Zazzle.com/Cubs Out Loud. You can get different various items such as the hat that I'm wearing, or as James has on, the Consent Is My Foreplay shirt that he's wearing. So yeah, neither of us are wearing our Drag Race stuff, but you know, we'll get around to that. I only got one shirt and it needs to be washed. So if you want to help promote COL, you can rate us on iTunes. You can get us on Google Play Podcast to subscribe. You can give us a thumbs up on Stitcher Radio. The most important thing to know is for Cubs Out Loud, Drag Race Tea Time, we are now separated out. So if you want just this as a podcast, you actually have to go subscribe separately for this. So it's not going to be blended in with the other stuff. To do so on iTunes, you can type in this to your web browser. It's https://tinyurl.com/iTunes, which is small I, capital T, small U-N-E-S, hyphen, all caps, C-O-L-D-R. And that way you can get us on iTunes if you want. Or just type in COL Drag Race into your podcast app that you use. If you would like to find us online, Damon, how would they get in touch with you?
You can find me as TheaterCup79 on most bear-related sites, or you can find me as Pup_Umbra on Twitter.
If you would like to get in touch with me, I can be found as GearBear73 pretty much anywhere online. And James, our illustrious guest host, what about if they want to touch you or get in touch?
Oh, please touch me. I mean, hi. most social media sites such as bear-related items, I am Tenor Cub. And except for Twitter, which is the odd one, it is Butterfield Jam. It's my fun one.
Butterfield Jam?
Yes.
Like spread you on toast kind?
Sure.
Nice. Well, kids, that's it for another episode. We will be back in 2 weeks for our next episode at that point. In the meantime, we're going to rocket to the moon. Yeah.